Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator, this podcast and the information shared within it are intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. Hello and welcome to Project I Am. Today we are diving into a topic that might just change the way you view yourself. Self-compassion. For many of us, self-compassion can feel foreign or even indulgent. We may think that we are too kind to ourselves, we'll become complacent, or we'll lose our drive. But current research shows that the opposite is true. Self-compassion can help us become more resilient, more motivated, and emotionally balanced. Today, we'll explore what self-compassion really is, why it's so powerful, and how you can start incorporating it into your daily life. If you've ever felt like you are your own harshest critic, or if you're constantly feeling like you should be doing more or should be doing better, then this episode is for you. By the end of today's episode, I hope that you will feel inspired and empowered to approach yourself with a little bit more kindness and understanding. So what is self-compassion? Dr. Kristen Neff, who's a leading researcher in this field, she's actually based round the corner from here at UT Austin, she defines self-compassion as treating ourselves with the same kindness, care, and understanding that we would offer to a friend. Imagine if a friend came to you feeling hurt or defeated. You'd likely respond to them with empathy, encouragement, and support. But when it comes to ourselves, we often take a much harsher approach. We criticize, judge, and even berate ourselves for not being quite good enough. Self-compassion is about shifting that inner voice from a harsh critic to a supportive friend. Dr. Neff's research at UT Austin has broken self-compassion down into three components. These components are self-kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. Self-kindness means responding to our own pain with warmth and understanding rather than criticism. Common humanity is recognizing that we're all imperfect, that suffering is part of the human experience. And then mindfulness. This involves being present with our feelings without letting them overwhelm us or define us. In a 2022 study published in Self and Identity, researchers found that self-compassion is linked to greater psychological well-being, including lower levels of anxiety and depression. Self-compassion doesn't make us weaker. It actually strengthens our resilience, allowing us to navigate life's challenges with more balance and more grace. So, here's the question then. Why is self-compassion so difficult? If self-compassion is so powerful, why is it so hard for so many of us? Well, part of it comes down to the way that we've been socialized, really. Many of us grew up with the belief that self-criticism is necessary for success, that being hard on ourselves will somehow push us to be even better. Like, you know, when you're chatting with somebody and they're praising themselves, how it feels almost wrong to hear them praise themselves. You know, it stands out. Whereas if the person were criticizing themselves and beating themselves up, that's more socially acceptable to some degree. And I don't think that's right. According to Dr. Paul Gilbert, a psychologist who's extensively researched self-compassion, our brains are wired for what he calls the threat defense system. And when we face challenges, our brain's fight or flight response kicks in, and that can oftentimes include turning on ourselves as a perceived threat. That's crazy that sometimes we can turn on ourselves, that we can perceive ourselves as a threat. Self-criticism can feel like a form of self-defense, but really over time, this constant self-criticism wears us down. In a study published in Psychological Science in 2019, researchers found that people who practice self-compassion were more motivated and productive than those who relied on self-criticism. Self-compassion, it turns out, provides a more sustainable form of motivation, one that's based on caring for ourselves rather than fearing failure. So, is this actually science? Do you even science, bro? You know that saying my kids use? Is there even any science behind this? Yes, there is. Let's look at the science behind self-compassion and why it's so effective. When we practice self-compassion, we activate the brain's caregiving system, which releases oxytocin. We all know oxytocin is the love hormone. This hormone helps us feel calm, connected, and safe. Studies show that oxytocin can reduce levels of the stress hormone cortisol, which is often elevated when we're being self-critical. Dr. Neff and Dr. Christopher Germer, another expert in self-compassion, found in their research that practicing self-compassion can actually rewire our brains over time. Just as self-criticism strengthens pathways of stress and anxiety, self-compassion strengthens pathways of calm and resilience. This phenomenon we all know as neuroplasticity, otherwise the brain's ability to reorganize itself by forming new neural connections. By practicing self-compassion regularly, we can essentially train our brains to be kinder and more supportive. In fact, a recent study in mindfulness in 2021 showed that even brief moments of self-compassion, brief self-compassion exercises, significantly reduce symptoms of stress, depression, and anxiety. The practice of self-compassion isn't about ignoring our flaws or mistakes. It's about acknowledging them in ways that are more gentle and, at the end of the day, more constructive. It's about creating an inner environment that supports our growth rather than punishment. And I think in today's society, where we really have been conditioned to punish ourselves, to be super critical of ourselves, it's really rare when we find somebody that really likes themselves, that has this inner environment where they are their own biggest champion and not their own biggest critic. But what is really the difference between self-compassion and self-esteem? Well, they really are different. For years, self-esteem was considered the foundation of psychological well-being. But research now shows that self-compassion may actually be even more beneficial than self-esteem, especially when it comes to resilience. The problem is that self-esteem is often based on comparisons. We feel good about ourselves when we succeed or measure up to other people's standards, but that feeling can quickly vanish if we fail or face criticism. So you compare yourself to somebody and you're feeling better, but then you compare yourself to somebody else and you're feeling worse. Self-compassion, on the other hand, doesn't depend on success or external validation. It's there for us when we're at our best and when we're at our worst. Dr. Neff explains that self-esteem is often conditional. And I agree with that. I think self-esteem can be. It depends on our environment, right? Depends on how we're feeling in the moment. In a study published in Personality and Social Psychology, researchers found that people with high self-compassion had more stable self-worth, meaning that they were better able to navigate life's ups and downs without feeling defeated. So self-compassion doesn't rely on meeting certain standards. It's about embracing ourselves as we are, flaws and all. It's a resource we can draw on no matter what's happening in our lives, helping us feel grounded and resilient. So how do I practice this self-compassion thing? You know, can you give me some tips? Absolutely, I can give you some tips. Here are three simple techniques you can use starting today. One is self-compassionate writing. This exercise, developed by Dr. Neff, involves writing a letter to yourself as if you were speaking to a friend. Think about something you're struggling with and write about it with kindness and understanding. For example, instead of saying, "I can't believe I messed up again. Ugh." Rather than that, try, "It's okay. Mistakes are part of learning. You're doing the best you can." Writing in this way helps us reframe our inner dialogue, and at the end of the day, we feel more supported. Secondly, try the self-compassion break. When you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed, take a moment to give yourself a self-compassion break. First, acknowledge the pain you're feeling. Say to yourself, "This is a moment of suffering." Next, realize that suffering is part of being human. Say to yourself, "I am not alone in feeling this way." And finally, offer yourself kindness. Place your hand on your heart and say something supportive like, "May I be kind to myself in this moment." This technique, researched by Dr. Neff and Dr. Germer, can help interrupt self-critical thoughts and bring a sense of calm. I want to say those three things again. First, acknowledge the pain you're feeling. This is a moment of suffering. Next, recognize that this is part of the human experience. I am not alone in feeling this way. And finally, offer yourself kindness. May I be kind to myself in this moment. Okay, that's the self-compassion break. And then thirdly, mindful self-compassion meditation. A simple meditation to build self-compassion is to close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and visualize yourself as you are now, imperfections and all. Imagine sending warmth and kindness toward yourself. Picture it as a gentle light or warm sensation. If you're struggling, try repeating a phrase like, "May I be kind to myself," or "May I accept myself as I am." Research shows that mindfulness and self-compassion go hand in hand, helping us to be present with our feelings without letting them overwhelm us. Now, let's be honest, these exercises may feel really awkward at first, especially if you're used to being really hard on yourself. But just like building any new habit, self-compassion gets easier with practice. The more you practice, the more natural you'll feel, and the more you'll begin to approach yourself with kindness. So what are some other benefits of self-compassion? Well, another benefit of self-compassion is in your relationships and in your general well-being. Practicing self-compassion doesn't just benefit our mental health, it also has a positive effect on our relationships. When we're kind to ourselves, we're better able to extend that kindness to others. A study published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships found that people who practice self-compassion were more empathetic and supportive in their relationships. By being more gentle with ourselves, we cultivate the inner resources we need to be understanding and forgiving with others. And we know this is true, right? Hurt people hurt people. People that are gentle with themselves are more gentle with others. Self-compassion also builds resilience. According to research in the Journal of Anxiety, Stress, and Coping, people who practice self-compassion are better equipped to handle life setbacks. Rather than being bogged down in self-criticism, they are able to pick themselves up and keep going. Now, this doesn't mean that they're ignoring their mistakes. It means that they view them in a constructive way and learn from them. Self-compassion enhances our emotional well-being and making us feel more connected, more resilient, and capable of facing life's big challenges. And perhaps most importantly, it helps us cultivate a kinder and a more peaceful relationship with ourselves. At the end of the day, we need to remember that self-compassion is not a destination. It's a journey. And like any journey, it requires patience, practice, and persistence. You might not feel an immediate change when you start practicing self-compassion, and that's okay. What matters is that you're taking steps to be kinder to yourself, to treat yourself with the same care that you would offer a loved one. Remember that self-compassion is there for you on your best days and also on your worst days. It's the foundation of a supportive inner voice, a voice that says, "I'm here for you, no matter what." Practicing self-compassion doesn't mean ignoring your challenges or pretending that everything's okay. It means meeting those challenges with kindness and resilience. So today, and every day moving forward, I invite you to take small steps towards self-compassion. Whether it's writing yourself a kind note, taking a self-compassion break, or simply being mindful of how you speak to yourself, each act of self-compassion brings you close to a more meaningful and fulfilling life. Well, thank you for being with me today on Project I Am. I hope that this episode has encouraged you to look at yourself with a bit more kindness. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone who might benefit. And remember, you are deserving of the same compassion you offer to others. Until next time, take care of yourself, and may you continue to grow in kindness and self-acceptance. See you soon. May you be well.
The weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're going to love it.